Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Last month on this program, we heard from civil rights leaders of two generations, Percy Green and Cori Bush. Today, we have a portion of another such conversation with Reverend Darrell Gray, who marched alongside iconic civil rights leaders of the 1960s, along with Lachelle Eichrencotter, a videographer involved with the protests stemming from Michael Brown's death in 2014, and more recently, the acquittal of a police officer in the death of Anthony Lamar Smith. Reporter Nancy Fowler first asked Gray about what sparked his activism.
My mother's very fair-skinned. We come from a long line of interracial relationships. My great-grandmother is white. And when my father brought my mother to South Carolina in 63, they burned a cross on my grandfather's yard, told my father to take the white woman back up north where he found her, and my grandfather, not my father, who was a business owner, had to take my mother around to visit white people to show them that she was not white. So that was probably
How did you learn of that?
We saw it. It was a big old cross burned on the front yard. You could see it outside the from inside the house.
And so you woke up and somebody said, "This is happening," or?
Yeah. I mean, it was loud in the house. I mean, it was fear. In the house. There was anger in the house. There were shotguns in the house. And everybody got out of bed, and we looked out the window and saw this big old cross. So, I mean, when somebody's burning the cross on your lawn, everybody in the house wakes up. And so that was probably my first exposure. I lived in the segregated South. I went to an all-black high school. I had to walk by the white high school with the big yellow buses to get to the black high school with no buses. I've seen the Confederate flags. I've seen Klan up close.
Lachelle, what kind of moment sparked your activism, and describe that experience, if you would?
Well, for a lot of the younger generation in St. Louis, I think that August 9th, 2014, when Michael Brown was gunned down by Officer Darren Wilson, was that moment for a lot of us. At that time, I had just finished with college. I was back home working. I was everything that this system, this society said that I was supposed to be. I grew up in Jennings, which is next door to Ferguson. When I went out there, at first I went out there with the mind of, what are we doing with our community after the rioting and the burning? And I was hurt. But while I was out there, I saw a group of people standing on the parking lot of the old Quick Trip. And about 20 police cars just came in with riot gear, with dogs. They were putting on their shields. They had the batons, and they were just antagonizing the crowd. And I was always aware, but I hadn't seen it that close before. And my background is media, so I had my camera with me, so I just started taking pictures. And then night after night, I came out taking pictures, until about 5 days later, I was arrested with a gun to my back by an officer, surrounded by officers with guns pointed to my face, for recording them arresting another elderly man that had crutches, that couldn't walk, that was just trying to walk down the street. And in that moment, in that instance, I remember sitting in the back of that paddy wagon in this, like, unbearable heat, being teased, being harassed by officers. And I just didn't understand, because I was supposed to be, what was this? I was a college grad. I was working. I was everything that they said that I should be protected. Mm. And I felt less than human. And from then on, it sparked something. It radicalized me. And I knew that we had something to fight for and something huge to fight for.
So how do you each see, from your own perspective, the difference between the time 40 years ago, you know, that you became involved, and then now, and then how does that play out in today's, what's happening today, post-Stockley verdict?
For me, everything has changed, but nothing has changed. I mean, you think about it, and Lachelle, I hear it. You know, we talked about, I have five daughters, and one of them is in university now. And, of course, you like to think that we've come a long way, and we have. But it's unfortunate that in 2017, it seems like we still have so much further to go. And so when I look at, you know, 40 years ago and I look at now, shoot, man, I see the same thing. It's same thing, different day. When Lachelle talks about her experience, it's no different. It really isn't. And I guess that's the disheartening part, but it's also what makes people so frustrated. This rage that people see, it's a righteous rage.
When you look back at history, do you see things the same as well and also maybe different, and how so on each count?
It's funny because I was just listening to a panel discussion from Elaine Brown, who was one time the leader of the Black Panther Party. And listening to her speak and what they wanted with economic resources, educational resources, with the end of police brutality is, I mean, the mirror reflection of what we are asking for today. So in that aspect, it feels like nothing has changed. But to say that absolutely nothing has changed, I think is false. I mean, listening to stories from my elders, listening to stories from ancestors of, I mean, what we can say and what we can do and the jobs that we do have, there has been progression. But we know that it's not enough, and it's not enough for a human being. And at the end of the day, that's really what we're saying, is that we're human and we want the basic things that humans should have. So there are differences and there are a lot of similarities.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the Civil Rights Act. We got the Voting Rights Act. We've got equity laws. We've got all of this stuff. But the reality is we're still last hired, first fired. We're still unemployed in mass numbers. We're still underemployed in mass numbers. When you talk about African American students being suspended, I mean, we were in segregated schools. We were graduating more blacks in segregated schools. We are graduating more black college graduates in black colleges. And so while I agree, I still maintain that if you look at the statistics, that when you look at double figure unemployment, when you look at mass incarceration, when you look at African-American school suspensions, when you look at the level of poverty that we're in, when you continue to look at these things, yes, are there more, quote unquote, opportunities? It kind of seems like it from the surface. But legislation is going to do absolutely nothing to change a person's attitude. It will alter the behavior. But, you know, we're still being viewed, as Lachelle said, as less than.
What logistically, Lachelle, has changed about the demonstrations in the last four decades? What, not only how, you know, getting the word out, and also sort of the makeup of the demonstrators?
So with this movement and in this time, it definitely has innovated more because of social media. It's way easier to get the word out. It's way easier to showcase what is going on, those mishaps where the media has never been fair, right? So back then, who's to say if the news showcased it, something true and fair of what was going on? Now you can get on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and see what's going on in the moment and the brutality. And I mean the diversity out there, and not just by race, but by LGBTQ, by all these different intersections, which has also been a learning space. So in protest, you are also learning so much, because now that we recognize that we are humans, I'm black, I'm a woman, I'm all of these intersections. It is so much diversity. It is so much technology. It's so much newness. But it's funny because as much ironic better, because as much newness that it is, we're still facing the same tactics. We're still seeing the same responses from police. We're still dealing with the same things. But now police are putting out their dispersal orders on Twitter and expecting a protester to see right. Their dispersal order on Twitter. But it's still that same because they know we didn't see that. So it's those, it's still those same tactics that are not fair that's being used, but it's just on a new platform.
I'm in awe of social media. But I think back, you know, how did we communicate back in the day? For the most part, it was word of mouth. It was word of mouth. We didn't own any. We owned black newspapers. I mean, that was our strength. That was our medium. It was black newspaper and public radio. Public radio was one of our strengths because public radio was public radio, and most people who were involved in public radio, for the most part, are pretty progressive for the most part. And so that's how our time was communicated. And it's amazing. It wasn't until America got to see on nightly news black folk getting beat and the water hose and the dogs and the whole Bloody Sunday thing. If it had not been for national media capturing those moments, then the movement would have been slower. The civil rights gains would have been slower. But it wasn't until white America saw it, they couldn't deny it anymore. But as Lachelle said, now everybody can see it, and they can see it in real time. And that's made the difference for me, as far as I'm concerned. That's what is making the difference now.
Do you feel like that, as of right now, this movement is working in some way? And if so, how and what makes you know that?
Well, for me, I know people that follow the system and all of that like to see, like, systematically, you know, what's changed. But for me, I've always been what's going on within it. So we know that the community that has been that's being built through this, the love, the dedication, because that's what's going to sustain it. So the organizers, like we said, that have been out there since Ferguson, that have been organizing since Ferguson, all of these, no matter what roles they previously played, I was totally media in the beginning. And I know now is my time to start really helping with organizing. And it's the dedication. It's the loyalty. It is that what's happening in that room and outside of the room. So the community that is, I mean, coming out almost every single day with us, it's getting cold outside and they are still showing up. So for me, one of the biggest things, one of the biggest wins is the community, because as long as we are sticking together, there is no stopping us, which means that we will be out here, which means that this is a long fight and we are in it for the long haul. And then again, just seeing the police force exposing themselves, which is one of those biggest things, like change, the type of change that we honestly want to see isn't one that is going to be easy or just one easy law to write or one easy legislation to put in. It's not going to be easy. We want the change that's uncomfortable, the real resources, the real end to police brutality, the real people in offices. We want all of that. So the more that this system starts to expose itself, the more that we get to talk to the mayor and have her confront and sit there with black people at a historically black college and be questioned, to know that the people, because we always hear that black folks are lazy or they don't come out or they don't care. And you saw a room full of black folks that came out and that cared, right?
It's interesting because in my day, we would have been satisfied with the legislation. That's the difference. We would have seen legislation as the goal. That's the difference. When you ask, the Civil Rights Act, okay, gosh, we got it. The Voting Rights Act, gosh, we got it. But what we didn't see was that it was just a piece of paper. That everything had changed, but nothing had changed. And so what we're learning now is, as Lachelle said, there are other things that have to be built going in so that when the legislation and the policies are put in place, that they're sustainable, that they're real, and that if you try to renege on anything you've done, that community is still in place.
Are there any criticisms even within the black community about the way this movement is being managed and how it rolls out?
We've got some folk in the black community who are trying to run end games around the movement. There are meetings being held even now.
What are they trying to do?
They're trying to create the legislation. They're trying to create the policy. They're trying to position themselves. And that's what they are trying to do,
mm-hmm.
Because they don't get it. They see policy as the goal. They see legislation as the goal. And it took me a while to get it because I had some of that mentality left over, that some of that residue from the old civil rights movement. And so, you know, initially, you know, what's the goal? What's the plan initially? And then I got it when I keep hearing them say, y'all gonna stop killing us. Y'all gonna stop killing us. Y'all gonna stop killing us. And that has to be the rallying cry because that's what's happened.
That's Reverend Darrell Gray and LaShelle Eichern-Cotter talking with reporter Nancy Fowler. The two protesters from different generations discuss what has not changed since protests during the 1960s. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.